It's a Daily Talk Show, episode 286.
What's going on? What's cracking?
Just got a notification on my phone. That's why I can't have it up.
Was it worthy of say?
Cam Shand liked our photo on the Daily Talk Show.
Great.
Yeah.
It's much needed for everyone to hear that. Mm. Like most notifications, they're actually unnecessary.
I've been joking a lot that I'm a big baby.
Yeah, I guess when you start painting you start identifying as the big baby. I can't see anything but a big baby now. Mm-hmm. Like, or I actually see you in diapers sometimes.
But that's a monkey.
Yeah. See monkeys as babies. Like, picture like a big monkey baby, because monkeys babies are quite big, some of them.
Mm. Yeah, I get that. No, but I think you're a bit of a baby too.
Am I?
Yeah, a big baby.
Am I? What am I?
Because you
baby?
Couldn't even. I was asking you if you could wear headphones.
I didn't want to wear headphones.
But the pushback started early in the day. As soon as the thing is, I've worn headphones for 286 episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
I've asked if big media company can buy new headphones.
Yeah.
It's been not now.
Well,
it hasn't been a priority.
We've got about 30 pairs of headphones floating around this office.
Amazing though, when when I ask you to wear headphones, you're online searching for headphone options.
No, I was, because I don't want to wear these big fuckers. They just annoy me. I wanted like Apple headphones that go in your ear, like so earbuds or earpods, but the ones that have a wire on them. So I was looking for an extension cord to solve it.
Because
I knew that you had been a big baby saying you got to wear them. And so I was matching it with, okay, I'll solve this.
I don't think it's that big baby-ish. Anyway, but when you were working in radio, did you wear in-ear headphones or did you have over-ear?
No, they were fine, but we weren't being videoed. It was like, they were annoying. I would always take them off. Like I'd always pull
them
off.
Is it a vanity thing? You don't like the way you look?
No, just, I don't like.
If it's a video thing.
They look shit, I think.
Don't think you look that good in headphones.
They don't look that great. They feel annoying on your ears. They get hot. And so like I remember just like sweating because I've seen you sweat more than any human being in my life wearing headphones. And so I just don't like them on. Mm-hmm. And I just chuck the little ones in.
You act sometimes a bit like talent. It's sort of like the old school talent, which is like...
No, it's like I fucking have my own show. I do what I want.
But I think
like you do what you want.
But I think headphones is probably... If we're going to do a podcast and we're going to take calls, you're going to have to fucking wear headphones.
No. I've got no problem with any headphones. It's just these big ones. And I said to you, why am I wearing headphones today?
Mm.
And I said, it has to be for a reason. And you said, yeah, we're calling somebody. Yeah. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I wouldn't be able to hear him. Mm. It'd be a very... just... conversation with you and the person.
What's been happening? What else has been happening? Let's change the pace. It was quite an aggressive start to the
show. Yeah, because you called me a big baby.
And you're acting like a baby though. Isn't it funny?
I don't know where you go with it. Where do you want me to go with being a big baby?
Just go, I'm a big baby.
Yeah,
maybe.
I'm a big baby.
Well, did you hear? That was very...
That came through the computer.
That was I reckon. Yeah, it's because I've got the. Sorry about that. I've just got my push notifications on my phone. I just got an email.
So right before the show started, before I was accused of being a baby, we asked the other baby in the office, Mr. 97, who is closer to being a baby than we are. He's a lot younger than us. But I asked him, "Can you tell us? Could you reel off a list of the promises we've made on this show?"
Mm-hmm.
That we haven't followed through with. Because I mentioned it to you yesterday. I was like, what did I say? I was like, maybe we need to sort of make note of the promises we've made and execute on the promises.
Yeah.
Because I mean...
Which is also, you do that whenever I say a promise that you don't want to do, which is sort of like...
What's the promise that we
don't want
to do?
If I come up with another promise, it's always like, let's deal with the promises we have at hand.
I think
it's
most of the promises have come out of your mouth and on the fly, which is the best thing about them. But I think I do want to be the show that fulfills...
Delivers on the promises.
And delivers on the promises.
So maybe we shouldn't do any... Because I have a bit of an idea. Breezer can come in. It's fine. Okay, don't come in. We've got a squeaky door.
we need to get some...
Before the headphones or after?
No, we've got the spray. We just need to apply the spray to the door.
Priorities is hard in business though. We're trying to work 100%. Out what to buy first.
Well, last week you almost wouldn't do the editing because you didn't have a keyboard.
That's not true.
But you were like, we need one.
I want like, a big,
we've got a bunch.
I want a fucking big keyboard. It's hard because it's like, it's hard being a partnership because I used to just buy whatever I wanted. So I've got more money probably in the bank. Like it's setting me up.
Yeah.
But Big Baby's like, oh, do you really need the keyboard now? I'm like, well, maybe not. But sorry, the promises thing, Mr. 97. Let's call Derek first. So I was saying I saw Derek downstairs, Scooter Derek, and I was telling him I could potentially give him a call.
So he's
He had his own issues that he wanted to bring up that wasn't related to the promises.
Is this episode just
trolling you?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
What the?
No, it's all good. So we'll give an old Scooter Derek
can we
a call
give him a
on
clap?
It. No,
can we?
Hello, Derek speaking.
Hey, Derek. This is Josh and Tommy from the Daily Talk Show.
G'day, fellas.
I'll just pull you both up. That's not how either of you call anybody and say, is that actually how you answer the phone, Derek? Hello, Derek speaking.
I do change it up a bit.
You knew we were calling.
Yeah, he did.
The phone said it was Josh, so I thought he can have a little posh one today.
That is a good point. When I do see, especially if it's a business call, and I know that I've got their number, I know who it is, you still answer with...
Hello, this is Tommy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Still doing
have
it.
You, Derek, have you changed, because you're moving away from doing as many scooter things and moving to podcast stuff, do you think that you'll eventually have to change your number so that you don't get such a blend of calls?
No, I'm fine with that. Keep in mind that even in the years I've been fixing the vintage scooters, I also field probably five times as many calls every day for people that, you know, with their kids' Razor scooters whose wheels are falling off.
Really?
People with some kind of random Chinese scooter, food delivery scooter. So I'm used to fielding calls and going, no thanks.
And you weren't an escort, you're not fielding those kind of calls. If you're an escort, you'd have to change your number. Actually, I know an escort that didn't change his number.
Really?
Imagine the calls he would have been getting. Yeah,
it'd be pretty full on. Derek, the reason we're calling, we actually had a reason. I know you wanted to slam Tommy about saying that the bowl haircut was from the 80s.
When was it, Derek? Because I know you're rocking it. It's definitely not from today, the 21st century.
I'm pretty sure the bowl haircut was just a torture that was inflicted on children down through the ages, where the mum would just actually put a bowl on the head and use the bowl to use as an outline and cut around the hair.
Dude.
So I'd say it started when they invented scissors and bowls.
There's a Wikipedia page dedicated to bowl cut.
Could we get Mr. 97 to do any sort of update, maybe as mentioned on the Daily Talk Show or something? That could be fun. We're working our way towards getting our own Wikipedia page. Derek, the question we did have though was, Tommy doesn't want us to create any more promises until we fulfill every promise that we've made on the show. Problem is that we haven't done a very good job of keeping track of what the promises are. Do you have can you reel off a few promises that we're yet to deliver on, or maybe ones that we have delivered on as well?
Well, there's the book, of course.
It's got the most cut through, annoyingly.
Bang.
It was a big promise.
I mean, that's the flagship of
promises.
Of DTS promises. Yeah.
Any others?
I think cutting down the swearing has gone the other way. I got to the point where I could pretty much almost for about a week there put it on when the kids are in the car.
Okay, sure. Interesting. So I'm just confused because I can't remember making that promise. Is that promise?
I think it was a promise. I think it was like you were saying to yourselves, we're just going to try and not swear as much, but without changing who we are. And if you need to swear, you need to swear, sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, Tommy called me dropped the C bomb.
Stop saying the C word. Yeah, that was. I thought are we just sucking up to the Seppo? You know what I mean? Like, sorry, guys out there, but it's our language.
Yeah, sure. Well, so you think the swearing's okay? So
you can't. You can't. Of course, whatever makes you your speech flow.
Okay. And is there any other promises that you want to put on? Because I've got a big promise that I want to make.
We're going to get through a few before.
No, but I thought once we have them all outlined, I sort of want to say if we can get these sorted, I want to make a promise that's going to be the biggest promise the show's ever fucking seen. Derek, have you got any other promises?
Pressure on the show.
Have you got any other promises that we need to?
Weren't you
going to
have that? Did you end up having that smoking?
Sandra Sully.
Yeah.
No, we haven't had Sandra Sully on yet. I sort of felt a bit awkward because Tommy mentioned the punching the dart stuff and Sandra Sully, and then we're bringing her on the show. And I felt like, do we need to preface all the in jokes about so with one of the jokes we make is the fact that you punch a lot of darts. It just felt like it was going to give me a bit of anxiety.
But I mean, the reality is I actually had mistaken her with another woman.
Do you know what her name is?
Helen Kapalos.
Okay.
Yeah. Who's another newsreader that has a real raspy voice.
We're not getting Helen on now.
But, I mean, out of my mistake came some information from an inside source that she does punch darts. So, I mean.
There you go.
So we're doubling down on that. Anything else, Derek, that we've promised?
It doesn't really prove that your ability to identify darts. Dart punching is accurate.
Well, I'm not a dart puncher myself, so I struggle.
Yeah. What other promises? I wonder if you guys have promised me anything personal.
I don't think so.
Now, this is probably the time to finish.
Yeah, I think that's the end, Derek. We've just turned you down on the fader. Actually, I'll bring you up. Bye, mate. Catch ya.
See you, man. Right.
That was, now I've got to end the call. Can I bring up the promise? Let's get 97 on.
Yeah, okay. Maybe so, he's got some Mr. 97, we've got the book, Swearing, Sandra Sully. I'm adding to the list, Squeegees.
Oh, the Squeegees.
Squeegee run, limited Squeegee run. Which it's in progress.
Yeah.
It's just stalled slightly. But so we're basically doing a key ring that's custom made. Mm-hmm. It's going to be 3D printed and it's going to be of a small little squeegee with the TDTS engraved into it. And it's a limited edition. It's like, if you know, you know. If you've got, if you see someone at a cafe and they've got a squeegee on their key ring, they're not fucking around.
Anything else, Mr. 97, that we've promised?
No, I don't think so. Not that I can remember.
Oh, that's good.
Nothing? What about you? Have you got anything? Any thoughts? Anything that we've, before I'm sure, you get to a big...
Do you know what I could probably do? I could go into the Trello and go real old school.
Yes.
And pull, because I actually had a section, I'm pretty sure. One promise was that I was going to set up a website called thedailytalkshow.com/promise. Promises.
And was that a promise?
Yeah. I was going to list all the promises.
See, that's a great idea. Yeah. I think that could be the way that we actually keep track of this.
Yeah.
So it makes us feel like we need to tick it off and there's a real strike through once it's done, delivered on. It'll make us feel like we're productive.
Yeah.
So we're basically building out a to-do list.
Mm. Just doing Google authentication. Yeah. I'm not going to worry about it. But are there any other ones, Mason, before this?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, so my promise.
This is an additional one. I'll have to add this to the list.
No, this is big. I haven't brought this to you yet.
Oh, hang on. One promise. It wasn't really a promise. We just mentioned that we should get counselling.
Yeah, sure.
Which, so that's an ongoing one. Counselling, couples counselling.
Yeah, great. Counselling couples. So the promise that I'm going to make for the show, once these promises have been delivered, for episode 400, right?
Yeah.
I was thinking that we – so I'll lay out the whole idea and then we can say which version.
All right.
It could involve a spinning wheel to help determine what we do.
Yes.
But I was thinking let's do a 400 kilometre walk.
Yeah.
And we start it, if we do 40 kilometres a day, 10 days before leading up, then on the 400th episode we reach the 400 kilometre mark.
Okay. And what's the purpose?
It's to signify episode 400, and I love walking.
But there has to be a link to something. Like, I think we need more behind us to actually make us achieve a 400-kilometre walk. Like, that's halfway to Sydney. That's a long way.
So what are you thinking?
Well, I think it just needs something more. I don't know.
I thought maybe we could get a charity involved.
Oh, yeah?
But then I did look it up. I Googled. There was a guy who walked from Ballarat, I think, to Adelaide for 400 kilometres.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to work out if there was any 400-kilometre walk in the world that we could actually go to and it would actually be the thing.
And was there any? What happens about the shows? I mean, this is, you're saying it's a promise, but we're now workshopping the promise.
Okay, not a promise yet. We're promised that we're going to think about it.
All I've written down is episode 400.
That is a promise that we can keep.
We can do something. The 400 kilometres, that sounds outrageous. Like, it will cook your fucking legs. I know.
Yeah,
someone,
no, but you've got limiting beliefs, and I'm.
It's not about limiting beliefs. I think I need a bit more motivation than episode 400.
What about if we got your little headphones, like in ears?
I'm in.
So if you had
no,
but could you do it? Would you do it?
I think we could do something. I like the link to 400.
97,
something has to. Yeah, Mr. 97 is thinking, fuck, I have to go with these gronks.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds fun, doesn't it?
It's a little outrageous.
But it'd be pretty fun.
If you get a charity behind it, yeah.
So I made a video.
Otherwise, it's a bit.
I helped Ryan John make a video of his mate promoting this run he was doing. It was like, I think it was 200 kilometres that he was actually running. And it took them like 4 days or 5 days. And it was to raise money for motor neuron disease, MND. So ALS, the Ice Bucket Challenge is the same sort of charity, same illness, sickness, disease. But he was doing it because he had such a link to that. Yeah. His mother suffered from it and passed away from it. And so, fuck, I just know that that's probably what was ticking him over in those moments where it's quiet and you're out on the roads and you're annoyed with the person next to you for no reason other than you're just tired, sore.
So what's another version? So what I was thinking is maybe we could have a wheel.
Oh, yeah?
That has a lot of 400 themed things.
Yeah.
And we do the wheel. Is it sounding too much like radio?
Definitely. It sounds a lot. I mean, we have taken a call to get
this
from
is
a
becoming
listener.
The show that I've always wanted it to make.
It's outrageous. I mean, but this is why we sort of have talked about promises, because we're not going to just make this one and have it and work towards it. I don't know. Maybe there's something. When is episode 400? Have you mapped it? Please tell me you've mapped that out based on having the idea of
episode 300's happening in March.
Yes,
and then so I just said April, May, June. So I was like, June. I was like, winter, but not in North America. So I was like, maybe we get Eric involved.
Do
he
a big
can
walk
with
Eric?
Us.
Fuck. Yeah.
It sounds.
A bike ride. I think the walking bit. And a bike ride you could do in like a day and a half, 2 days. I reckon you could do it in 2 days. Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely one to workshop.
What more does it need? Normally we have these talks outside the show and they're probably as deflating as this right now.
But how's it deflating?
Well, because we've got Mr. 97 who's saying that it's a shit idea. You're saying...
He never said it was a shit idea.
Basically, he said unless it was for a charity.
Yeah.
Which I sort of get. Yeah. But how is it a little bit disingenuous? You know, like people who want to do a marathon, they then attach it to a charity. I guess that's okay.
But it all has to have a...
Do I need to pretend
link.
It hasn't happened? Yeah. So should I just voot, voot, voot and go, hey, guys, I've been thinking about charity.
I think there's too many people doing stinky things these days. And people's bullshit filter is so good.
So what could we do?
I don't know. This is where you have to just workshop and think about it. I mean, any idea, it's like you put a bit out there and then you start connecting the dots along the way, because we might actually find something getting closer to it. That makes more sense.
If we just start now, though.
I mean, we could just go the complete opposite. Why are you guys doing it? Because we've got a podcast.
Well, that was like part of what I was thinking. Like,
so
we could do
reverse.
Some charity stuff, like charitable stuff, and have fun with it. But your concern is that we're just going to be a bit boring during the 400 kilometres, that not enough's going to happen.
No, I think, I mean, there's a lot of – how – so you reckon 10 days, 40 kilometres an hour, kilometres a day.
Yeah.
How long does that take?
So I reckon if we spent around 10 hours a day walking.
Yeah. So you're doing 10 for – no, I reckon – 10 minutes.
I think I did
a
half marathon walk the other day in like 5 hours.
Did you? That's pretty good.
So if we did
– It's
21 Ks.
It's just under – it's 12 kilometres shy. Oh, no, it's 2 kilometres. How long is a marathon? 42 Ks.
Yeah.
So it's 2 kilometres shy of a marathon a day.
Yes.
I mean, there's people out there running a marathon a day.
Yeah. So what's
a guy did three like over a year's worth of marathons.
So you're coming around to the idea now. What more does it need? So one of the things is that we're going to be blocking out a chunk of time.
Yeah.
It means 10 days of us not bringing in revenue.
Yeah.
So we need to have some early wins to be able to have the cash flow to be able to do it.
Yeah, definitely. Next, you'll be starting a Patreon to support us on this walk yeah. and funding our foot tape that we'll need
yeah.
for the journey.
So
the food.
So you're not for it? Like so far?
No, I'm not for it. I just think it's. I think there has to be something.
Well, you had a problem with my Insta stories as well. What's the problem with the Insta story?
No, so you posted last night, and you actually, I was looking at it, and then I watched a bit of it, and then I got a text message from you. I was like, wow, his ears are burning, and the text message said to me, "What do you think of all my Instagram story content?"
Yeah, well, this was the audio from it. Hang on.
Everyone, it's Josh Jansen from the Daily Talk Show. Would you like your email read out on the show? Well, just send us an email.
And I stopped it about there. So I kind of like, I just looked and I thought, oh, yeah, I get it. But I didn't get it.
Because well, it was just me being a bit funny.
Well, I didn't get it because then I wrote to you. You said, what did you think? I said, I was about to DM you and say, no wonder you quit social media. But then thought that was a bit harsh, so I didn't.
But you think that, like, I don't understand what changed. Why is it okay now?
And then I realized because I watched the follow-up one.
The follow-up ones were an afterthought, though, to be clear.
Okay.
Like, it so wasn't like I came up with this whole strategy.
Well, to anyone who comes in late in the piece, it would seem like you came up with it before you started that first one. Because the second one was like personality number two.
There was literally just a bit of gear I thought of afterwards. I'm like, I want to do another one. Should I say the same thing? Maybe I do a different version.
And so what I wrote back to you and say, oh, fuck, I just saw the second one. I get the joke now. The first story I thought, the first story.
Can't even read his own fucking messages. Thanks. Lynn.
Yeah, thanks, Lynn. The first story, I've legit seen you speak like that many times. So I thought that the whole sort of series of Instagram stories was you just having different personalities. And so I got it. I was like, ah, okay, I see that.
But your issue with my sort of the way that I speak. Do you reckon those planes are for the...
That sounds really loud. But there was... Sounds like we're in... I wonder if you can actually hear that through the...
No, you probably can't.
You probably can't. There's a lot, yeah, it sounds like there's fighter planes over the top. Anyway, I've seen you do that many times and it's like this, it's like a real parody of yourself.
But you so think it's like, that it's not a parody, you don't think it's, you just like, no, you just do it being
if
yourself.
You do a parody so much, it then could become you. Mm. And so then that was you, I was like, yeah, it's a real show. It's like, I think you push back on people doing sort of pantomime and I've never used that word in my life until I've met you. Yeah. Pantomime. I had to look it up.
Yeah.
I still don't even know what it means, but I get it. It's like...
it's a bit overperformed.
Yeah, which I think is the trap when someone turns on a camera, which you slip into your own trap or the thing that you point out. And go, oh, it's too pantomime.
But you don't like it. But from as a brand association, we did a live stream last night on the Insta story.
No, I think that was great. That was.
Were you sort of slightly nervous that all of your old mates are saying your podcast guy is a bit weird? Were you okay?
You're a bit weird, dude. It's okay.
Okay.
We've established that. If you're 286 episodes, whatever we are now, deep, you've established the weirdness and you get it, which is cool. And so I think the live feed shows more of you. It's like going, how do you show your authentic self? Because if some random person who's never seen our podcast or heard us comes on to that bit, hey, it's like they'll actually think that's you.
Yeah.
They'll fucking be like,
I sort of like that.
Fuck that.
I liked that.
I'd be massively turned
off. While Brie was driving, I was doing that and watching myself back singing my Endeavour Hills footy anthem. It's great.
And poor Bray. That's what I said as soon as I got onto the podcast. I said, is your carer with you?
Yeah, she was.
Because poor Bray's just...
Anytime I have a chance off, like if I'm not driving, I might as well make the most of it.
Yeah. But what I've realised with you is you need to be encouraged to do this. Because if it's the other way, you...
Well, yeah, what do I do?
Oh, you're it a big baby.
It doesn't slow me down, does it?
No, you either double down on it.
I'm 100%
double down. Or you get super offended.
Mr. 97, do you want to go outside and let us know? Can you bring your phone? I'll call you. there are heaps of...
We're getting a live cross to outdoors.
So we're getting a heap of... this planes. It sounds like... I wonder if it's preparation for the air show. By the way, I tried to...
Have you got Mr. 97's number?
Yeah, Mr. 97. There we go.
Okay, here we go.
So we'll give Mr. 97 a call.
Oh, you've legit got it as Mr. 97.
Yeah, that's why when I... here we go. It's calling. You probably can't even
see.
Hey, can you see anything?
No, there's nothing out here.
Okay, we'll give it a few seconds because I can't...
Oh, hang on. No. There are five planes.
Five planes.
Yep. What are they?
Yeah, I think they're like five... Maybe like... They look like sort of like fighter army ones. Yeah,
really? Like old school military?
Easy trains.
Yeah.
I can't see now.
Okay.
Well, yeah,
they've
just gone
behind the... they've gone behind the train carriages.
Oh, yeah, they're flying off.
Can you,
out of line?
When we end this call, can you get a photo, please, and put it on Insta?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, great.
Mate, could you also get us a long black from downstairs?
Actually, did you want a coffee?
No,
I'm all fine for now. All right, thanks, Maze. Gotcha.
Six.
I will admit, this is good.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, good to have headphones.
Or do you think people will think, like, guys, this has gone off the rails?
I mean, if you've stuck in there with us... With this show, you know that we go everywhere, and that's the thing. We don't care. We're having fun.
Yeah,
it is fun.
The other thing too is, do you reckon you're pretty in touch with, like mood wise?
Yeah.
If you're in a different mood, do some people say to you, "Oh, is everything okay, Tommy?" And then you're like, "Oh, what am I actually externalizing?" Or do you know when you're in a shit mood that you express your shittiness?
Yeah, I think I know. I think I know if I'm in a different mood, and I don't think that people around me are not seeing how I'm feeling, because I think I do show how I feel.
Yeah,
I think we both do it.
If you are in a shit mood and someone calls you out on it, does that make you in a more of a mood, or does it make you consider and be like, you know what?
Depends on how deep down the rabbit hole you are. You know, it's like it's almost triggering at some points. Depends on, because if it's something that's like, you know, isn't that fucking it's. You shouldn't be annoyed about
exactly.
it. Or it's something that you just
annoyed, you out.
Frustrated. It can just give you a bit of perspective. Mm-hmm. And so, why are you bringing that up?
I know, I was just thinking.
Because I blew up at the coffee guy today.
A little bit. I just think I think that Mitch loves a bit of banter. He's quirky. He's quirky. He reminds me of me in that regard. And so when you tell him to fuck off, I do feel bad.
I think people like you sometimes need to be told to fuck off. Because it's just like this little fucking little mouse, just like you try and rub him off one shoulder and he's around on this shoulder.
It's
you're
just
like,
very
fuck.
Aggressive. It's just slightly aggressive. Bree actually had a photo shoot yesterday.
For herself?
No, they were doing a chocolate photo shoot. They had a little girl on set.
Yeah.
She was 7 years old. She was not behaving. She's being a bit naughty.
7 year old, hard one.
Yeah.
That's just gone to primary school. Yeah.
So what do you do in that circumstance?
When they're misbehaving. Surely the mother's there.
The mum's got headphones on.
Just this is another reason why you shouldn't have headphones.
Yeah. So Bree ended up saying, look, we're going to have to find someone else to replace you. And the little girl sort of sorted her shit out after that.
Okay. She's had the perspective.
But kids just will say anything. Like, kids don't have a filter. I guess Bodhi's not old enough to really put heaps of words together and insult people.
Nah. But I can see how it's like, oh, fat! Look at that fat man, daddy. I can imagine that.
We had Nissan over on Sunday. We went to Port Melbourne.
Yeah.
We're walking along the beach and a guy asked Nissan to take some photos for him. And Nissan gave me his ice cream. So I had two ice creams and a little boy walked by and said, why does that man have two ice creams? And then so he kept walking and then I yelled out, I'm holding it for my friend. Which
what I love is when adults justify to kids
because he's rattled the big baby.
Well, I mean, if there's something you're probably triggered by, it's weight, and so you're in good shape, you know, now in your life. But it's like I could imagine at one point, Josh actually has two ice creams for himself. That would fucking sting bad.
It was a nightmare, but yeah, it was okay.
It's amazing. It's almost like they have this ability to source out sore points in people.
Yeah, they seek the insecurity. They understand the insecurity, and they'll
it's such a thing. Why does that person have two ice cream cones?
It's a fair fucking question.
It is, because you could just have two scoops. Mm. Or did you already have two scoops?
No, I didn't have two scoops. Wayne sent us an email, by the way. It's a very admin-heavy show.
do you want me to read this one out? Because it is kind of directed at moi. So
never say moi again.
Never? All right. So Wayne is... an avid listener. Mm-hmm. I love the emails he sends, but not this one. Okay. He said, "Hi guys, listening to EP 285, the buck stops here," which was yesterday's episode. "Tommy mentioned things that people do that annoy you. For me, one of my biggest annoyances is something Tommy actually said earlier in the episode when you were discussing footy club songs." Mm-hmm. He says he referred to football as AFL rules. The sport is Australian rules football, not AFL. The AFL is the league, not the game. I know it's pretty petty, but it shits me to tears. Just my two cents worth."
Mm. No, there's a lot of those things that people say. Anytime there's acronyms and stuff, can be a little bit confusing.
I mean, Wayne, I'm not sure, are you a big AFL fan? Because I could imagine that's something that someone who really supports a league. Like, it was a mind fuck yesterday. We were at a Amy Park, which is a stadium here in Melbourne.
Do they play football at Amy Park?
No AFL rules football.
So why were there AFL teams in there?
So Melbourne Football Club, that's their sort of base for training. They go next door and they train on Gosh's paddock, which is a footy oval.
Did Collingwood used to be there?
Yeah, Collingwood used to be on Gosh's paddock. And so there's like a weights room and rehab and
anyone
swim
else
center.
Impressed that I fucking knew that?
Yeah. And no one... any of our international listeners have no idea. Yeah. But anyway, so that's their weights training facility. But we were filming on the ground, which the ground was set up for NRL, which is National Rules League or...
National Rugby League?
National Rugby League. National Rugby League, but we were filming a soccer player. And soccer is not football in Australia. Mm. Well, it is, but it's also we have the Australian Football League.
It's a Daily Talk Show Sports Edition.
So it was very hard to go. We were trying to go like rugby, football, soccer. Like there was so many references.
A lot going on.
We but told you him, most, "Can you dribble the ball?"
You like, can. You dribble.
Is that a basketball?
No,
reference?
soccer dribbles. You dribble.
I mean, sport is one of those things that it's fucking gospel for some people. Like it's their thing.
But you were impressed. The AFL stuff. Snuck a photo of some of the footy players and sent it to your bro. Oh,
yeah. I mean, I've been following the Melbourne Football Club since I was born. Mm. And I used to go down to the park and when I heard that they were training at Elsternwick Park, which was behind my house, and I took my little book. It had like little red bits on the side, black in the middle. Do you remember those ones? Like,
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I think you'd know. It's like an old school notepad.
Yes.
They're like very...
You would use them nowadays for if you were filling out like a car... what's that called?
Oh, like a logbook. Yeah. And so I took that down and I got the signatures of all the footy players. Like, it's pretty amazing. One of my greatest things, I was kind of starstruck. I used to wear this number 9 on my back, which was David Neitz, one of the greats from the Melbourne Football Club.
On the numbers thing, I was thinking we should get Mr. 97 a jersey.
That'd
with 97 on the back.
That'd
I was thinking
sick.
About it. I thought maybe we could get our own player ones and then as some form of inauguration. Okay. Can you add that as a promise?
Add that to the promise. Mr. 97.
Jersey.
Okay.
It's not. So, that's wow. Can I just say how Tommy spelled jersey? Can I or no?
There's no fucking point, you little bitch. Don't be that guy. You don't want to be that guy. You got to realize how you come across. You know the little mouse? He's now over here just fucking in my ear.
G-I-O-U-R.
So I was going to say Guernsey and then you said Jersey. So I started the
How's
G.
How's Guernsey? How do you spell Guernsey?
I don't know
how to spell Guernsey.
On Word, I literally just type anything and it gets there.
Okay. It didn't correct. Was that how you spell Guernsey?
I don't know how you spell Guernsey. Anyway, don't be that guy, Josh. It's very annoying. And so I had number 9 on my back. Mm-hmm. David Neitz, such a fan of his. I used to copy his moves. And anyway.
What was his position?
I think full forward or centre half forward, mm-hmm. one of the real prime goal kicking positions, mm-hmm. would punch a heap of goals, and he was a solid big dude. Anyway, I once was at Mitch Catlin, mm-hmm. who a friend of ours, at his house down in Blair Gowrie. David Neitz is there. We're having a barbecue.
Just hanging.
I'm sitting with David Neitz. And I'm a lot older now, and I've interacted so much more with these people that I used to hold up so high when I was young. You know, you're out of touch, and, mm-hmm. and then you get into media and stuff, you start seeing this. But I was still like football, like it was sport. Me as a child, like seeing David Neitz, and we're having great chats, and I was like, this is fucking sick.
Sport specifically brings out the excitement in people.
So aspirational when you're in those young years. Like the thing that brings you joy is just this kicking the footy around with your mates, and then you think, imagine doing this for a living.
Yeah.
You know, it's not – it's.
Did you ever think that you could do that as a living, being that way?
Nah, I think I just –
did you look like you could have been – being a naughty boy, I associate naughty boys with athletes.
Nah, I was more into kickboxing. Sure. I was probably better at that. It wasn't bad at football, but I think it's like – I don't have the natural ability. Mm-hmm. I'm not that fast. You know, it's like I've got skill, but I'm not. Yeah. There's the kids that stand out.
Yeah.
They're the footy players. Right.
I just found some extra bit of content.
Okay. Yeah, great.
Promises. I made a promise that I was going to put a message in a bottle and we're going to send it in Europe.
I'm going to put a message in a bottle.
Yeah. So that was one of them.
Yeah.
And then I had a whole segment called Life Traps, which was sort of a promise.
Oh, yes, yeah.
I even had sort of a Life Traps, baby, Life Traps. Do you remember that?
Yeah, 97? I've also got 20 Pages was another one.
Oh, what the book?
20 Pages was...
Oh, 20 Pages. 20 yeah, that's pages. A segment. 20 Pages In. That's
20
a great,
Pages In.
That's a book one.
Yeah, 20 Pages In. yeah. Anything else that we put there? Like some of the bigger ones?
Word of the day.
Word of the day.
Word of the day was, how long did we do that for?
We did it for a while. I think, if anything, it just outed how illiterate and lacking in knowledge we both are. But I think it was fun. I think now that we've done so many shows and we've started doing this, this is when we can start really coming up with
finding
some form.
Yeah.
If you have a podcast and you're 10 episodes in and you're thinking we need to work out this structure, we're 286 episodes
deep. Trying to work it out.
It is an evolution over many, many years, I think.
September 12, we were talking about cups versus cones when you're getting ice cream. That's not a that's not a thing, but I just thought that was interesting.
Okay.
We've covered a lot of ground.
I just will say you obviously can see my mood when you shit me and you get...
That's what you do with
what
Mitch.
What I've realised is you double down on it, and so it's hard because I go, I'm so emotionally reactive to this stuff because it is fucking annoying.
Well, part of it
anybody.
Is...
anybody, like realise my experience around you, and then I realise that the way I react, you actually feed off and then you just...
Well, you also, the reaction is completely outweighed by whatever I did as well. So that's why it becomes emotional.
But not when it's hundreds of these over the period of a friendship. It's like shit weighs down. Like there are so many times you do this. Mm. And it's the Gemma Watts. Like it's the Gemma Watts effect. It's the Lynn Jansen effect. It's the Josh Jansen effect. This is what you're doing. And you just got to know.
You've got a slight anger issue. Perceive.
Well, you got a what? A
slight anger issue.
Yeah, I could admit that.
Yeah.
But around you, I think fucking anyone would.
What do you think? 97's laughing. Do you think that he has a...
Am I being unreasonable on how he grates me?
No, I'm realising.
Sort of realise
and
what's
not,
going on?
He's not going to yell at you if you tell him that he's got an anger issue.
Nah, not really. I reckon, Josh, you just love pecking at stuff.
Yeah, it's true.
You do love it.
He's like a little bird. Pecking's the right word. Just a little...
You do get angry about stuff.
I've called you that you're like the... You are the little brother. I'm the little brother.
Mm-hmm. You got angry at me on Friday because I was trying to play... You said you were telling a story about Sin FM. Do you remember that?
I was
that?
Not... So... I wasn't telling a story. You asked me. You know when you're doing something and it's like you actually it's so irrelevant to anyone around you. And then someone says, oh, what's that? Tell me about that. You did that.
You asked about motion graphics.
I just
asked. And then I said, oh, yeah, maybe this one. He's like, oh, yeah, there's this great guy. He used to work at, do you know?
You actually asked me, you prompted me to tell you about what I was doing because I asked you something, which is
fair. You asked me something and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, what's that for? Yeah.
And then I got into the story because I was like, and then I tell the story. Mm-hmm. And then
you said, oh yeah, he was, do you know Get Serial? He was on Get Serial at Sin. And I was like, Get Serial? I was like, I have a theme song from when I was on Get Serial. And then you fucking lost your mind.
No. Because what did you say? What? Like, we're literally about to do something. And you're like, oh, here, I'll pull it up. I'll show you.
I'll show you.
I've seen it. You always have to make it about you.
He's getting real angry about it.
I didn't actually get angry.
And then I was like, oh, okay, well, finish the end of your story then. And he's like, yeah. So he was on Get Serial. I was like, okay, great. Very good.
So there's two perspectives. How you're perceived by me is I'm telling you a story. You're actually not interested because now you're actually bringing up something about you.
No, but I was super interested because you're like, oh, do you remember Get Serial? I'm like, fucking yes, I remember Get Serial.
Yeah, here's the bit about me.
Yeah, but isn't that life? Like, isn't that life like you have a perspective? I'm like, oh, that's so cool that you have that perspective because I've got this.
I think it was so deep into this story I actually didn't want to tell because it had no real relevance to anything. Mm. And then
you got
all of a sudden the curtains
angry.
Come out. And it's
but you know
doing
that
high kicks for Josh.
But I feel like that's very triggering. When anyone says, oh, can you not make it about you?
I can tell you were super offended.
I was upset because it's like I work with Tommy Jacket who like has like made a business about making it about him. So it's like if
no, I haven't.
Well, you do a lot of videos that are about you. So it's like, oh yeah, sometimes I talk about me and that's okay.
Yeah.
And that's what like we do a whole show. And so the part of it is where it's like, hey man, can you watch this video that's about me or that's my story?
But if I've seen it.
But I've never, ever, ever said, can you not make it about you? Because I always feel like I think it's a triggering point because it's like everyone, all we have is our own fucking perspectives. Mm. And so it's like, and also I think about how interested I am in what you're doing or what anyone else is doing. Mm. So I think that's why it grates me.
And there's Josh blowing up.
Yeah. I reckon the difference is you could have just waited until Tommy finished his story and then you could have hyperlinked.
Yeah. Well, no, but the thing was, it didn't feel like
I've got a hyperlink. I'm fucking about to click it.
But you didn't have. But there was nothing else to that story, as you were sort of saying,
which is kind of why I was like, oh, I'm not even into this. But you've now interrupted me telling you this annoying story that I had to somehow reach into my brain.
Yeah, but I think I always push back on anyone that like tries to slow excitement down. Like if I'm excited about something, I'm not going to be apologetic.
But you are the guy that puts on a show and like has done that since being a kid.
Yeah.
And so that's where it's like, maybe that's what I'm seeing.
Yeah.
It has. Mm. Like I'm going, oh, now Josh is about to do a show on his stuff, which is fine. Like, dude, you're doing it more than you're not doing it. But so you're winning.
But the thing
is, we allow you.
But that's the thing. But it's like, I always think that it's that whole thing when someone is a certain way, like we've spoken about that before, where it's like, it's the person who never pays for anything. You pay for them and then they pay once and they're like, I'm a boss. It's like you're playing at different sort of realms. Yeah. So
when can you ever be told though? Not you personally, like when can anyone ever sort of have a moment? Because I feel like there's different people respond different ways. And so when can you ever go, when can anyone ever say you make this too much about yourself? Like, when can you ever accept that as a person?
I reckon, I think there's empathy there. I think the problem with it is that the instant reaction is to be like, well, when can you say it? I don't know. I just think
when can you say it to a person that does do it a lot? And how can it not be offensive? Because I think that is probably a good tool for some people. Because if you've got someone in your life that does do that, and it's like, I know that those kind of people are offended by anyone sort of stopping them from doing it.
Well, I think it's phrasing it in a different way. It's trying to understand what do you actually mean. Mm. So when we talk about doing videos and stuff, my thought was, I reckon it'd be great to see your perspective on something else, not a perspective on your story. Mm. And so that feels like a constructive way of saying, don't just talk about yourself, but talk about your perspective. Mm. And I think that it's like such a fine line. But I think that it's, Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if we're all, I reckon there's probably too much of a push to feel like we need to school people or change people. Or if
I
this
think
is,
all we have is the ability to understand how we are being perceived by someone else in the room. And if, and I know it's like I'm not fucking talking like I'm great at it, but there is times where it's like doing this now and pulling people in, what is it doing? And it's that's hyper awareness, right? Like but that's something most people
different.
Don't have.
But the thing is, everyone's awareness is different. So my version of that for you is the anger stuff. So you're getting angry at Mitch or whatever at the cafe. I'm just like, it's all cool. Like it's all fine. You don't need to say anything. You don't need to fucking.
But when
like,
do you fine. Say, if someone's fucking annoying you, when can you say something?
Well, because you've got
like
to.
Like at what point?
Well,
like,
you've got to have a bit of empathy and be like, you know what? Mitch is lovely. He's actually like having a bit of fun.
Yeah.
And so.
No, but I don't, I think it's on the person that can grate on you a lot. Like, and you know, they do it. Like I know you do it to me, right? There is times when you're grating. Mm. At what point can I go, fuck off, dude? Because I don't. It's because I think there is some point in a friendship or an exchange where it's okay to have a moment where you do say something, because you can't just get away with it.
I think that part of it is like an empathy of like, okay, well, why? Mm. What you know? What are they wanting? And the thing is that if someone's doing that, if they're sort of heckling, sometimes what they're seeking is connection. And so saying...
But you picking me up on words.
Yeah, I get
like,
that.
Is that not like my response to it, my frustration in it?
I get
that. Is
that
not you doubling down on it?
100, no, but you can do that. I think that's fine.
But I want to know, is it Guernsey or that's Jersey? Definitely,
well, it's not even correcting the spelling.
Yeah, I know.
So it's Guernsey, I would say, is more
of
a
British...
Yeah,
what is a
British.
Guernsey? Guernsey is... Yeah,
that's a country, is it? What is that?
There is a country.
Visit Guernsey.
Guernsey.
No, but I think that it's you don't have to. Don't you agree though that you don't have to react to everything?
Yeah, but I think communication. It's two ways, right? Mm. So you doing this to me is you not recognizing that this shits me, but you still will get at me. And so what am I meant to do? Just go, hey, dude, can you just not do that? It's really
like, no, I think that was a fine reaction, but I wonder what
when Mitch annoys me in the cafe and he knows he fucking does it, I know you do, Mitch, and sometimes I play into it hard because I'm feeling like it, but the other times I don't want to fucking play into it because I don't really feel like
so if it's a bit of
being annoyed.
But if it's a bit of gear, how does he know when you're just being like, ah, fuck off, and it's like, ha, 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 it's all fun versus
because
like
I think
actually
you can thread, like if
off.
It wasn't like, you need to fuck off. Like it wasn't way. It's like, I dished it up in the same
do you reckon
sort
it would
of
have
level
more cut through potentially? It's like, hey, man, I've just got to concentrate right now.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. But then he made it about me having to concentrate. That was his whole thing. He's got an important email coming through. It's like, when do you win? I know the bigger person would say, hey, dude, you know how you do this? It's not really that good.
No,
it doesn't make me feel good.
No, but that's a difference. You can't say it's not good or like all the – if you think about it.
I'm saying good. It's annoying. I don't want you to do it to me.
But that's the difference. You can talk through your perspective, but I think these ideas of like saying, oh, this thing – I think using terms like – or if you'd said, man, I don't want like – I don't want to click on that hyperlink about the get cereal thing. Like it doesn't.
100%. That's a better way of dealing with it.
Versus saying you're making about you again.
But if we only ever have two sides, like me saying that is catering to you doing that all the time. And so that is a better way to deal with it. But then there's also the other side to any equation that is, do I do that a lot? How could they be seeing that? And it's like for me with like how I come across, I have to.
But don't you think that then becomes a judgment beyond the specific thing?
No, I think it's just having awareness about how the person's perceiving you, why they are like if someone blows up at you, why?
But I think
it's probably about what they're feeling, but it also could be about how you're coming across. I think this is.
I just feel like maybe you give yourself your feelings too much clout over, okay, looking at it from an empathetic point of view, maybe this person.
But, so I know it's like, but maybe they aren't doing any of that work. And so when is it, we can only rely on ourselves for how we deal with situations. But when is it ever on the other person to be doing their own thing? And we can't change somebody else.
Yeah, I just don't know if we need a school. Like, I think that the thing about the vlogging stuff that always annoys you when I bring up that sort of stuff. But the thing is that
I actually don't have a camera that I could hold up like that. It's too heavy.
But that perspective is only an opinion, right? Yeah. And there's lots of vloggers who just do their whole life and they're super successful with it. So me saying, oh man, you just make videos about yourself, why don't you try and make something about something else, is only an opinion. That's a content piece. That isn't a
You backpedaling on what you said?
No. I'm saying that that's all it is. It can't be used as a judgment of, I'm always making it about myself. Because there's fucking, if you are in a, doing this podcast, a lot of it is just about ourselves. That's all we've got. All we've got is our perspective.
I think for a lot of people, you would end up just not being surrounding yourself with the people, because you can only do so much, right? You can empathize for people around you and how they treat you. But then there comes a point of going, I'm actually just, because I've now done the work on me, what I've done is the filter of, I don't actually want to be around any of that.
But that's
so
the
then
whole
you
thing.
Don't ever surround yourself.
But with the difference is, the only difference between, like I talk about myself all the time. The thing is that, the only difference in that situation was how you were emotionally feeling and how you responded. So you
when
normally
is it ever like that's what the only pushback I have with that is, when is it too side? Like, when do you need to come to the party to do a piece of work on that stuff?
No, well, I think that there's traits that are within people that aren't necessarily directly impacting me making you feel bad about your spelling. That is a negative trait that is specifically eating at you. Me talking
about... But where's your part in that? Like, just
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, so in that moment, it's like, hey, you don't need to troll me on this sort of thing. I'm doing my best. Yeah. Versus another situation, which is just like you're responding to something the person's doing, but it actually doesn't have to impact you if you don't want it to.
I mean, we're talking about someone taking a clearer route to success, like saying that, like, we are humans, are emotionally charged.
Yeah,
we are reactive to our feelings, and you got to try and be better. I think I need to try to be better with processing in those moments, but we all fucking make mistakes.
Yeah.
And so it's one thing to have it come out the best possible way, but then there's also the other side of the coin. Why does someone do that? Why?
But so if you don't do it through that, it doesn't seem like it's through empathy. I just felt like I know
but
how
I
felt.
I don't I know think doing how, that is through empathy. Well, how, no,
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that what me doing that isn't empathetic.
Yeah.
And but the thing is that it's not empathetic to, I don't think, make judgments on specific people, because it has impact. Because I'm like, oh, we're trying to create a safe space where we can come up with ideas and we can say things and all that sort of stuff. So that idea of, and especially when it's like, oh, we've got to actually go and record a show. Like when we're going from that to recording a show, it's like, man, so much of what we do on the podcast is us expressing ourselves and giving our perspective, and actually, you know, put the brakes on. It's like, oh, well, I can't really bring everything that I was bringing.
I also just think, like Amy brought up about, we're talking about ideas and, you know, collaborating, and when can you say an idea is bad, or should you say an idea is bad? And it's such a hard one, because
there are shit ideas.
Yes. And there is, if we only have our, you know, selves and our information inside and our perspectives to pull on, when someone asks you, what do you think of this? The empathetic version of that is understand the person's needs, understand what will serve them best in this endeavor, or they're coming to you to say, why, what do you think? And at what level do you be honest? Because
but I think honesty, but don't you also think that
I'm just saying there's people who have made a lot of money off being right and saying it, and also being wrong. The people who are right have been wrong millions of times. Yeah. And so at what point, I don't think we live in a world where you can just say, no, we won't, I won't ever say what I think about this.
Yeah, but I also think that there's a danger in being adamant of like, I think that yours is prefaced with the idea that my perspective is right, or I think my perspective is right. Whereas I think that it's worth saying, hey, like someone asked you, should I do a YouTube channel full time? Mm. You could easily roll into, I think this, I think this, I think you should do this, I think you should do that. But there's 100 questions that can be asked before that. There's perspective.
Or if there's someone's the like, guy that made it work and you ask him, he says, yeah, dude, it was really tough. Yeah. It was hard. It's the hardest thing I've ever done.
But if you don't, if this person fucking has a bunch of cash in the bank, doesn't have any commitments.
Or they're the other way. They came from nothing and made it. I think this is the thing.
That's why advice is,
a case around any piece of advice to sway towards they didn't have the right to fucking suggest that or say that.
No, but so I think that part of it is it's like as the givers of advice or feedback, it needs to be given like, this is how I feel about this specific thing, but this isn't the truth. Because there's, especially when you're a kid, like if, you know, and how adults speak to kids then impacts them down the track. You think about your relationship with teachers, they positioned you as this naughty boy, right? And so for me, being told, Josh, you're too noisy. I did a, to make about me, on Instagram.
It is your podcast,
I did
bro.
A post. It's both of ours.
No, you can say yours. I can say mine. Okay. I get it, dude.
Okay. Insert funny bit of joke there. You got a bit of claps. What I'm never touch that again. The Instagram. I did the student of the week, and I got student of the week for practicing giving other students a turn to speak. But there is
Mr. 97 can't contain himself back there.
The thing is
that speaks to the guy that was over here wanting to show me the get serial
but
thing.
This is the thing. And that's my trigger point. That's why I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're playing into it, but I've gone fucking okay. And I know that you think that I make it all about myself and all that sort of thing. But the amount of like if you think about how much anxiety I have that you're going to upset Mitch or whatever. Where does that go? That doesn't come from me talking about myself. That's me thinking about other people. Yeah. So I think
the only difference between you and I talking about this, if you were the one with a bone to pick with Mitch, you wouldn't go back to the cafe after doing this episode.
Yeah, that's true. Absolutely not. You're going to double down now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Any other thought? Mr. 97, have you got any thoughts on all of this shit? You got anything that you can be the voice of reason, the referee, and can you just not fucking side with people like you just did before?
Yeah. But if you do, you know which way to go, bro.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just sort of understanding. Yeah, I think as a person like giving the other person shit, there's definitely some sort of understanding and some sort of There's like a point that you have to realize that you're going beyond what the other person might think is like jovial and joking and stuff. But yeah, as a person sort of copying it, I think, yeah, there's definitely a point to speak up and sort of.
How do you speak up, do you think? Do you think Tommy's aggression telling Mitch at the cafe to fuck off? I felt like it was too much.
Well, I wasn't there. It depends how aggressive.
It wasn't. It was
jovial.
How do you say it?
I can't even remember.
Fuck off.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But it happens
in the moment. Like it's just.
He's not someone that I haven't ever had a conversation with and I'm telling you to fuck off. There's been joking, swear, like, and then it's like at that point, it's edging. It is my version of saying, dude, can you please stop this without saying it's like playing into the tone that we have anyway to then go fuck off. And then his gear becomes around. He's got some important emails to write.
Yeah.
Were you ever were you ever branded as a bully growing up?
Maybe. I don't know. No, I had lots of friends and I was friendly with lots of people. So.
I
knew kids that weren't. If anything, dude, I got bullied by older kids and that's why I fucking smashed them. That's why, like, I would get in fights with older people and maybe that's why I learned to fight. But it's like. I was the target maybe because I stood out from people.
Or are you an easy target based on your reactions?
So no, maybe I was standing out and just my personality and probably talking and, you know, it was always older kids. What are they doing? How are they, like I'm not reacting to them. But I definitely. And there was a bunch of us that would be bullied by older kids. And yeah. What's your smug look
for? No, that's not a smug look. I'm just thinking. It's a daily talk show. Anything else?
I just think there's, it's not good enough to, awareness, if you can only control the awareness in yourself, you can't disregard the piece of awareness someone around you needs to have done.
I think that there's a time in it. So you're reactionary in the moment.
Oh, I don't think it's right. I don't think it's right. 100%.
There is always like, if you feel that way, it's probably better to figure out, is this a constant thing that's always happening? Is it something that I actually need to bring up?
Pretty aware though, dude. I don't think many people are aware to that extent.
That's what I'm saying. So when you react, you're talking about like you're reacting to this woke state and you're giving them this bit of information.
No, I'm not saying I'm woke. No. I'm saying there is a piece of awareness. I don't think being aware is reacting to how I feel. That's not being aware. Mm-hmm. That's reacting to my feelings. Yeah. You're saying you should do this piece of work around how do you feel? Say it like this. But what I'm saying is, if I haven't done that, they're sure as fuck not doing that because they're the ones that are baiting or doing the thing or being the way that.
No, they've read it differently.
Yeah, and so they've had a different
thinking. They've had a different thinking sort of experience than what you had. But the idea that they've said this thing because they're not thinking puts your perspective in this.
This is why some people don't fucking have friends or have people wanting to hang out with them because it's at such a level where they've got no awareness. Yeah. So other people around them are aware enough they don't even want to say anything because that's what I said. How do you say this to people? Because I think even doing the clean approach or the kosher approach of saying, hey man, this is really getting to me. Mm-hmm. I think he's probably like, what do you mean? My awareness doesn't jolt necessarily the other person into this awareness state.
But then it feels like I think that maybe you'd probably feel better about it. Or if you had to do that, if that was the way that you were going to communicate to them, then it forces you to make the decision of like, is this really, am I just emotionally unnecessarily responding to this person?
This is why in work environments, there's people that just aren't liked at all because they got no awareness and everyone around. Like I've seen this happen on big,
But we couldn't get away with half the stuff. Like what we do in our office, if that was within a bigger context of HR,
would be fine. This is why we have our own business.
Yeah. But that's a perspective that I'm pulling from is being at a lot of fucking businesses. It's hard.
Take the chains off, Mr. Yeah,
exactly.
Kevin.
Yeah. Only one side. But the
it's connected to the wall.
It's very hard. You can't do much nowadays. Even when I was walking here this morning, there was a program for frequent flyer points and someone had graffitied, why don't you fly less, dickhead? And so people are getting on that. They did it on all of the signs around Collingwood.
Yeah.
So
I guess you got to care about something.
Yeah. I mean, what do you guys take out of this?
Yeah.
Anything? You still there? Hi at thedailytalkshow.com if you want to send us an email.
I hope so. I try and use what we're talking about and I try and connect it to themes that other people might actually resonate with.
Yeah.
The person in their life that's annoying.
Anything else you want to get off your back so it's a bit of a clear... Anything that's annoying you? Or?
No, all good. Feel good. This podcast is cathartic.
It's good. Are you going to go speak to Mitch maybe?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Mitch, if you've made it this far.
He would have.
You know what you're doing to me.
It's a daily talk show. See you tomorrow.
See you guys.